Good morning, everybody. You permit me to use my local diet for the two of us in the house, maybe for the first time. Like I always say, I'm a southerner by birth, but I've become a northerner by so I will say Nankwananku. Yaya Gida. Antashlafia. For those of you that are students, Makaranta. Good. I'm asking you that high school, right? Good. One of these days, I'm very sure Pastor was in Jos last year after KDG, and he refused to. I took some of the diet there, but one of these days he's going to come down and he will start speaking in the language. I want to say it's a pleasure to be with you. I bring greetings from the city of Jos, the home of peace and tourism, the most peaceful place in Nigeria. Believe me, I am not speaking by faith. That is the most peaceful place in Nigeria. The weather it's not like here. Well, as if you are in the oven, right here. It's okay. And I bring greetings for my family and my three musketeers to send their love to you, all right? The media will help me out a little bit. I want to read a portion of the scripture before we go to I want to share with us quickly. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and I want to read the first verse as a prelude to what I want to share with us. And I'll prepare the amplified version because it will set the tone for what I want to share with us. Good. Now, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of truth. I want to emphasize that. Now, in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophet. And now, the reason why I decided to set the tone for this is because the whole Testament or the Old Bible, it's not just seen or perceived, or should not be perceived rather, as stories that we can get moral instruction from. They are all portions of truth and revelation God used to express His mind to us. And that will be the basis of what I want to share with us. Well, join me quickly to the book of Ruth. We're going to read the book of Ruth, then I want us to pray. So we'll look at the entire book of Ruth. And I'll read from verse 1, and I want us to read together. Now it came to pass in the days when judges governed. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. But if you have in the King James, it will tell you when judges rule. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. Verse 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. Now they entered into the land of Moab and remained there. Verse 3. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took for themselves two Moabite women as wives. The name of the first one was Orpha. The name of the second one was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. Verse 5. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and they were bereft of their two children, and the woman that was bereft of her two children, that is Naomi, and her husband. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the land of Moab. For she has heard in the land of Moab that the Lord has visited his people in giving them food. Please stay with me. Verse 6. Please stay with me. Verse 6. Is the key verse for chapter 1. Now let's go straight to verse 16 of the same chapter. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God." Verse 17. "And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. That thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death pass you and me." Now verse 22. So Naomi returned with her, Ruth, the Moabitess, and a daughter-in-law who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of the grain, after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." And she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Please stay with me. Verse 3 is the key verse for chapter 2. Now let's go to chapter 3 quickly. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, spoke to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security?" If you are reading King James Version, it will tell you, "Shall I not seek peace for you, that it may be well with you? Now, is not Boaz a kinsman? Well, with whose maid you were, behold, he winnows the barley in the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, anoint yourself, put on your best clothes, go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he shall tell you what you shall do." Verse 5, and he said to her, "All you say I will do." Verse 6, and she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all her mother-in-law had commanded her. Verse 7, the Moab, when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went down and lay at the end of the heap of the grain. And she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. Verse 8, it happened in the middle of the night that a man was startled and bent forward, and a woman was lying at his feet. Chapter 4, verse 16. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap, and he became his nurse. And the neighbor woman gave him a name and saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. There is so much we are charged with as your people. So much we are entrusted with in the earth, in our days and in our generation. The kingdom of God, the riches of heaven, the examples of faith and holiness of the fathers that have gone ahead of us. Father, let it be so that we have more of the likeness of Christ, the spirit of his greatness. Lose us from every hindering spirit and every evil conspiracy against our corporate and personal destinies. Clarify us, sanctify us, verify us in you. Strengthen us with might in our inner man. We sanctify this convocation to you. And let it not be like the ones that have come and go. Let it be a turning point in our lives, in our journeys with you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Now let me ask. I know most of us, this is not the first time we are reading the book of Ruth. If I may ask, who is the main character in the book of Ruth, quickly? Who is the main character in the book of Ruth? Who? Boaz is the main character. Now, for the sake of time, in our little story, Boaz is Jesus. In the scriptures, name denotes nature. His name means in him is strength. It also means our kinsman redeemer. So Boaz represents in the story, Jesus. And when you read, let me put it this way. For you to understand the book of Ruth, you have to understand the leverage law of marriage. In the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, God gave a law to the children of Israel and said, if you have a man in the family and is married from another tribe or from the same tribe, but the man was not able to raise a seed or children of his own, and he died, he gives a permission for somebody from his tribe or from his clan or from his family to go in, marry that wife, and raise up children on behalf of that man so that his seed should be perpetuated. Are you following me? So that is the main key, the best way you can understand the book of Ruth. Now, Boaz typifies or is symbolism of Jesus by his name and by his nature. Boaz means in him is strength. He's also known as our kinsman redeemer. Jesus is the one that redeemed us from our sins, right? But he's also king to us. Because the scripture says, John chapter 1, verse 1 says, and the word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was begun. The word was what? God. By the time you get to verse 14, it says, and the word became what? Flesh. So he is the word that identified with us. If you read Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 1 to 2, the writer of Hebrews says, when he came and took up the nature of the sons of men, he did not become like the angels. He became one of us so that he may be able to identify with us and save us. Are you following me? Now, so that is why he's our kinsman redeemer. So the writer of Hebrews says he's our high priest, such that he's not the kind of high priest that cannot identify with you. He walked where you walked, he slept where you slept, he knows our affliction. So much that he is able to serve as a priest of what? Eternal what? Salvation. What some people have read for their own problem. But that is not where I'm going to. So, but that's what I want to establish is that Boaz is a type of what? Jesus. Good. Now, but how many women do we find in this book of Ruth? Three, right? We have Orpah, we have Ruth, and we have Naomi. Now, Pastor, I've laid the foundation. Each one of them can be a presentation of three types of believers, three types of churches, or three types of generations. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul describing the relationship between Jesus and the church. And he speaks of it symbolic and says, husband, love your wife as Christ does what? So most of the time when the Lord wants to allude something to the church or to the believer, he uses the symbolism of what? A woman. Or the female gender. Are you following me? So we cannot pick up and say, Ruth is a type of a church, Naomi is a type of a church, and Orpah is a type of a church. Now let me just do a little bit of exegesis simply here for us. Orpah simply means turning the back. She turned her back. She represents a kind of believer, or kind of believers. Pastor has established that principle. 30-fold, 60-100-fold. The outer court believer, I don't really know what went into their head for them as Moabites to marry Israelites. But at the end of the marriage, nothing came out of that relationship. But Naomi had a call. There was a sound. The scripture says she heard, even in the land of Moab, that the Lord has returned back to his people in that he has given them bread. The word returning, the word in the Hebrew means sure, it means to restore. So there was a sound that they got in the land of Moab. Now, but when she was now going back, if you follow the story carefully, the two of them, both Ruth and Naomi, said, we will go with you. In the heat of the emotion, no, you can't go, we will go with you. They all cried together. But after a long session of discussion, Orpah decided, okay, I will go back to our God. And she turned back. It could represent some kind of believer, too. Oh, we will go, we will follow the Lord. No problem. But when the water level begins to rise, the change and the leap. But that is not where I'm going. I'm not talking about Orpah. But when you look at Naomi, as when she was going, Naomi said, her name is pleasant or joyfulness. But she said, don't call me that. call me mad and bitter. She's the kind of believer that will blame everybody except themselves for their unwise choices. God is not good. God is bad. Oh, we've been fasting from here till Jesus come, and yet we have not seen anything. We have not gotten any result. Oh, all this praying and fasting and studying, we can win by righteousness and all those stuff like that, does not bring anything. For was it really God that killed both our husband and our two sons? No. So Naomi represents a kind of believer that will blame everybody except themselves for their unwise choices. But that is not where I'm going to. We are looking at root. But we have established the fact and the principle that the three of them represent three types of believers or three types of churches. Now let me ask a question. Where did they live? Where did the family of Elimelech live? Where did they live? They left where? Bethlehem where? Judah. Bethlehem means house of bread. Judah means praise. They left a place of the word and worship. Anytime you leave the word, you die. Everything about you dies. Your vision dies. Your dream dies. They left Bethlehem, Judah. And where did they go to? No, I'm asking you, where did they go to from the story? They went to what? Moab. Now, if I want to look at what is the meaning of Moab, I would have said, okay, let me use that the law of the first mention, and I will remember Lot and the two daughters. But I wouldn't want to go there. Jeremiah 48 verse 11 describes Moab as a nation or as a people that have settled on a leaf. Like a wine that has not been turned over time, and she's so complacent. Moab is a place you go to that you don't have to change. Are you following me? It's a place you go to, you are not challenged. You don't have to get better in God. Moab can be, it can be a church. You are not challenged, it's the same old self. And you don't know me, this is where I am. Pastor, you can preach from here to Jesus come. All this fruit of the spirit thing is not in our family, in our clan. This is the way we behave. So the word does not cut through you. It can also be an attitude. Moab can also be an attitude. Pastor, you can preach from here, Jesus come. I won't tithe. I won't give. Then be a thief. Oh, husband, love your wife. I say, I love the church. Do I look like Jesus? Are you following me? So, Moab is a place you go to that you don't change. You are the same whole self. You are tongue talking. You are devil casting. But you are not moving towards the conformity of his nature being formed through you. And it will also be a company of friends you have. The same old friends you have. Maybe in the church, your pastor said, tomorrow or next week we'll start our 40-day fast. Just come and I say, Sister Lizzie, you heard what Pastor Debo said? 40 days again. Are we the one that killed Jesus? Don't mind him. Me, I will not. I will just go to Tantalizers. When it's time for prayers, I will just clean my mouth and come. So it could be a place, it could be a company, and it could be an attitude that you pick up. So they left Bethlehem to Moab. But I want to let you know, but at the sound of it, in that the process, there was something that happened to Elimelech. He died, his two sons died, then Ruth had a sound and said, we are returning back. And Orpah, at the time of that discussion, Orpah went back. But she actually did not even leave Moab in the first instance. So they were left with, she was now left with Ruth all by herself. Verse 16 is where the journey of Ruth began. In verse 16, when you read carefully, because I'm going somewhere, she said something. She said, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And in verse 17, he said, where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will be buried. Now, at the end of chapter 1, Ruth was saved by the blood, by the water, and by the spirit. Now let's go straight to verse 16. And I want to begin to bring this type and shadows quickly with us. Because, for the sake of all of us, for the title. Now, Pastor Paul, you've not given us the title of your message. I call it Partakers of the Heavenly Calling. Partakers of the Heavenly Calling. The Friend of God. Parable of Ruth. Partakers of the Heavenly Calling. The Friend of God. The Parable of Ruth. The Parable of Ruth. Now in verse 16. In verse 16, that where we read, and Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. For where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people." Romans 10, 9 to 8 says that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him from what? And you confess from what? With your mouth? And that shall be saved. It was at this point, Ruth, she experiences a conversion, or what we call today in church, she became born again. A legion switched from being a Moabite to become the commonwealth of the sons of Israel. Now in verse 17, watch what she said in verse 17. "Where you die, I will die. Where you buried, I will be buried." We are buried with him in the water of what? Baptism. Romans 5, 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12 describes baptism as the operation of the working of faith. It's an experience as a believer. If you're born again, you need to be water baptized. Read my lips. It's not an ordinance that is done up. I know churches today that from you come before the altar call, you give the altar call, and straight from there, you join the departmental team. It's wrong. Let me start from the church of Moses. The congregation of Moses, they were saved by the blood at the Passover, right? Killed the first lamb that midnight. When they went through the Red Sea, they were baptized there. When they got to the wilderness, the cloud, they were baptized what? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul made it clear. The church, they drank from that rock, from that water, and the rock was what? Christ. Are you following me? So you follow that progression. First, she was saved. The second, she was baptized with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's an ordinance of a spiritual reality that was effected in her life. And you watch something. When the children of Israel were delivered by the blood, what went after them? Pharaoh still went after them. But Pharaoh stopped going when they got to where? At the baptism. Some of us, we still struggle today with some certain issues in our life. Old habits, it is because we've not gone under the water. I don't like using the phrase, "I gave my life to Christ, or I found the Lord." It wasn't lost. I was the one that was lost. So you found me. That was in 1987. But I remember our water baptism in 1989. When we went through that water, that experience, something twisted. I remember within us then, the issue of backsliding. Sorry. So when you come around and say Christians backslide, it's not, that word is not, doesn't exist in our dictionary. Something was severe. Completely. Jesus said, Mark chapter, the last chapter, "He that believed and is what?" If you have not gone, your salvation experience is not complete. You hear me? Go look for that. Now, in verse 22, I want us to watch the progression of Ruth. I'm going somewhere. The Bible says, "And they return at the time of the barley harvest." The barley harvest is between Passover and Pentecost. Well, the symbology of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, at the end of chapter 1, when you look at the life of Ruth on a journey of responding to the call of God over her life, she was saved by the blood, by water, and by the Spirit. 1 John 5, 7 to 8. You have to be saved by what? By water, by the blood, and by the Spirit. So she was saved by water, by the blood,
By the water and by what? By the Spirit. Now when we get to chapter 2, watch the story carefully. As I said, verse 3 is the key verse. Ruth woke up and told her, a mom, now after I've been born again, I can't just sit down at home and become a virtual believer. Hello? Or an Instagram member of Watergate Church. So every Sunday morning you buy 500 MB. And you are inside the house and you are watching live streaming. You are no part of the body. So she woke up and said, I don't want to be a virtual believer. I need to be part of a brother. So in verse 2, he went to the field of Boaz. Remember, he said Boaz is what? Jesus. Now, that field, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, when he was describing, when he was talking to the church in Corinth, he said, don't you know you are what? You are what? God's field, or you are what? God's garden. So the church is what? God's planting. We are his garden. So when Ruth approached that garden of the Lord, and the garden of the Lord is his local church. Now let me put it this way. Please stay with me. Ruth chapter 1 is 34. Ruth chapter 2 is 60. Chapter 3 and 4 is 100. Ruth chapter 1 is foundational. Ruth chapter 2 is developmental. Ruth 3 and 4 is purpose and destiny. Now what? Let's go to chapter 2. Now when you go to the church, I want you to notice what? Let's go to chapter 2 quickly. Who are the first people he met? When he got there, he met reapers. When he got to the church, he met soul winners. I remember when, I'm not talking about, if you're born again from 1995, 1991, downward. I know the story began to change, but if you were born again above from there, and it's biblical, when you're born again, you know when you get born again these days, the next thing that you fill the membership card, and they will go to the normal church rules and regulations, and they ask you to do what? Join a department. No. The first thing when you get born again, when we got born again, go tell your neighbor what the Lord has what? For you. That was the first thing. That madman of gathering, when the Lord turned his story, what did he went to? To the city. The woman at the well, when she got born again, what happened? Went to the city. So when Ruth got to the local church, the first set of people he met were the reapers. They were soul winning. Or soul winners. Like her. Winning and gaining at the field of Boaz. The word. The Bible talks about the health is the Lord and what? The fullness thereof. So, this was an example of evangelism. But I want you to note something. Carefully, thought just dropped in me. At the end of chapter 1, I said Ruth was what? Saved by what? By the blood, by water, and by what? By the Spirit. So she was tongue-talking. But up to that point, till she gets to chapter 2, she was yet to hear the voice of the Lord. Yes or no? Has she met Boaz? So it is possible for you to be saved by the water, by blood, tongue talking, and yet not hear the voice of the Lord. And if you are going to hear the voice of the Lord, you have to come to the local church. Let him that has ears hear what the Spirit says to what? To what? Not by reading books or listening to tapes. So if you want to hear what the Lord is saying, the speakings of the Lord, you have to be part of what? A local church. And please, you don't shop for a local church on the internet. You don't shop for a local church where you go to ShopRite. You go by the leading of the Lord. Are you following me? Good. So she got to the local church. She's going to Boaz, who is the type of a local church. I want you to follow the progression of Ruth. And she met four winners. Everybody in Boaz's field are winning souls. When last, they don't talk about Jesus. I know you can break somebody's head between Ronaldo and Messi, who is the best. I know. But when last did you talk about Jesus? I didn't say giving people handbills, come to KDG 2018, your life will be transformed. That is not soul winning. Oh, come for our power night, you will encounter God. That is called PR. It's called what? Advertisement. I want to have a lot of friends at the end of today, but I need to get that too. Are you following me? When last did you tell somebody about Jesus? I didn't say about Pastor Debo. I didn't say about Watergate or about your fellowship. I'm talking about J-E-S-U-S. When last? When Ruth got to Boaz's field, the first set of people she met were the reapers. Now, the second thing she encountered in verse 4 was that, and Boaz came from Bethlehem, from the place of bread, and said to the reapers. That was the first time she didn't speak to Ruth. She spoke to the reaper and said, listen to what he said to them, may the Lord be with you. The second thing, when you come to the house of the local church, you're taught and you're mentored how to be a soul winner. The next thing is how to hear the voice of the Lord. Boaz began to speak to each of the reapers, not to Ruth that just came. So those ones that have been there, they could discern the voice of Boaz or the voice of the Lord in the local church because they've been what? They've been in the house. That typifies the gifts of the Spirit. The vocal gift, the power gift, and the gift of act. So you got to know how the Lord speaks to you. It will be strange. After 6 months, we can forgive you. But after a year, to discern the voice of the Lord as inner witness, you are still struggling. If we need to put you in a monkey suit and take you somewhere else. But we have believers 3 years, 4 years, and discerning the voice of the Lord is still an issue. Is he my thought or am I hallucinating? It's an aberration. So when you come to the local church, the first thing you have ingrained into your system is the act of soul winning. The next is to discern the voice of the Lord, how to work in the gift of the Spirit. Now watch the next thing in verse 8. What Boaz now spoke to Ruth carefully. And he said, and Boaz said to Ruth in verse 8, listen carefully, my daughter. She was adopted. That was when she encountered the spirit of adoption. She was assured of her salvation and she knew she had part of that particular family. Let's go quickly. Now, and what, when Boaz spoke to those reapers, listen, and the Bible says something, and they said they reap, and they responded back to him and said, the Lord do what? The Lord bless you. Praise and worship. I'm sure someone will have told some of us the tabernacle of David. It's not only for you to express how to know the voice of the Lord, but also you know the act of worshiping the Lord. Raise your hand. You have begun to develop a relationship with him in praise, in worship, in your work with him. Now, the next thing quickly that Boaz did, or what Ruth encountered quickly, in verse 5 and 6, listen carefully. He said, and Boaz said to his servant, who is in charge of what? The reaper. So when you come to the local church, after your salvation, you will meet a leadership structure. You will meet servant leaders, where you are discipled. My father in the Lord have corrected me to stop using that word. And I think I will begin to have asked Reverend Isaac. In our generation, we use the word mentor and mentee. And it's not in the scripture. Because, and I began to research on it. Came from the Greek. But he decided to use the word disciple. And the word disciple is much more stricter than mentor. It's from the word, I don't know whether you know, most of our primary schools are modernized now. But those of us that went in those, I went to a very good primary school. I went to Secondary School, Onere Kenny Ibadan. So don't think I went to XYZ somewhere. But I remember those days when our teacher takes us out for physical exercise, he will tell you, do as I do. That is strictly discipleship. So you are not permitted to think otherwise. The way he lived, the way he worked, so it's what we call in education root learning. Are you following me? So when you come to the church, now your mind is off. It's like you brought up your hard drive, your system, and it is totally formatted, deleted. They remove that drive and they put in a new hard drive. They call what? The mind of Christ. It's called discipleship. So when Ruth came in there, she met the servants who were in charge of the reaper, telling them, you go this way, you go that way. No, you can't go. They will give you portions. So when you come to the church, you learn authority. You learn submission. You learn governance. When we get to 3 and 4, you will know the reason why we would have to go through all of that because of our destiny. A river without a bank or without banks is called what? Rivers without banks is what? Flood. The flood bless. It's control. I tell you, I don't know the kind of churches or what we have now. And I don't know the way we read our epistles. Paul, you know, when you come to church, you say, Pastor, just tell me about my spiritual life. You don't tell me how to live my life. You are reading the Bible upside down. Paul, when Paul said, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church, he's telling them about their love life into their marriage. Servant, he said, you don't defraud your master. He was teaching them how to live. When he goes to the book of Titus, he told Titus, he said, go tell them in the church in Crete, tell them that in the culture of Crete, they are called lazy bellies. They don't do anything. So tell them that as believers in Crete, you are not supposed to live like that. So when you come to church, every part of your life comes under the control and the regulation of the divine law. And it is not just from heaven. You have people set where? In the house. So we have a whole bunch of believers now. Who is sitting over you? You have to have somebody that tells you how to live your life scripturally. This is called discipleship. It's called simple discipleship. So that you will not be devil chasing, tongue talking, nation delivery, and be a wife beater. Hello? So that you will not be that you can preach Genesis to Revelation by from now to tomorrow and you will not repeat it, but yet you are indebted to everybody in your neighborhood. Hello? It's called discipleship. Structure is brought and adapted into your life. Who is speaking into you? As leader, as believer. You know, Pastor David, when I met some guys who just before I came, and the young guys, and I imagine one of them saying that my father in the Lord, when he mentioned the name of the person, the guy is not even a Nigerian. He said, I follow him very well. He's my mentor. When he mentioned the person, he said, Joel Austin. This guy has not left. The closest he has gone to, those of you that have been to George, the closest he has ever gone to is Marabang Jama. you know, the best way I can describe Marabang Jama is like when you are leaving Songo, you know where do you get to when they tell you bye bye to Songo, welcome to Ifo. You understand? Toll gate. Have you? That is the closest I've ever gone to. And you're now telling me that his mentor is Joel Osteen. I feel like looking for a useful anesthetic that used to eat cow, who hit his head and reformat his brain. You're joking. You're joking. Your mentor, he doesn't know you. He said, I follow him. I listen to his tape. I follow him on TV. He said, you are a disaster happening right now. I'm not going somewhere to happen. It's not joking. So who is speaking to your life? So when Ruth got to the local church, she was put in charge of a servant of other rivers. Let's go quickly. Now, that was, you get that in verse 5 and 6. Now, in verse 7, quickly, she was instructed to glean after. She was not placed in front. She was instructed to glean after the other word, reapers, in the local church. She was saved. She was water baptized. She's tongue talking. She has experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She's expressing the gift. But she has people set in front of her to know and how to do. God was preparing her for her destiny. Let's go quickly. Now, then it was in verse 7. In verse 9, Boaz spoke to her and gave her the leeway. After going through all of that, then they can begin to assign her, begin to find, her gifting begins to find expression in the church, not outside in the church. Okay? Quickly. Then, in verse 10, quickly. And she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner? And Boaz replied to her, that all you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. And now you let your father and your mother to the land of your birth has come to a people that you did not previously know. Now what's verse 12? And she said, may the Lord do what? May the Lord do what? Reward your work, and your wages be full from what? So when Pastor was saying, the way you live your life now will determine your eternal destiny. So in the local church, she was taught about the Bema seat of Christ. I remember my late general overseer, my father, Reverend Samson Ogundeji, told us before he went to be with the Lord in 1992. Dr. Ibenemi. He said, was speaking to her, he said, don't forget there is heaven, there is hell, and there is a day of judgment. So I will say to you, there is what? Heaven. There is what? Hell. And there is what? The day of judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, everyone will give account to everything he has done in the spirit. No, I'm asking. In the body. Up to your account. Everything you did in this body, how you spend your money, you will stand before him and give him account. I know you don't hear this anymore. When the Lord asks you, some of us, oh my God. Trying to refine. Some of us would prefer. God, I don't want to lose the sister. So let me start with the brothers. Some of us would prefer to invest brothers like very good shoes. So we prefer to buy a shoe, or probably between now and December, you can invest in 2 pairs of shoes at 50,000 each one. And you look good. Good pairs of sneakers. But to buy a book of 1,000 naira. It's a problem. You will give account. Hello? You will give account. To invest and probably at your work, or you come to church and they said, who is going to adopt just a missionary family with just 3,000 naira every month? It's a chicken change. But every month, you can change your Brazilian hair, each one costing 8,000 naira from the end. and your heart is not pricking you, you have heard a different gospel. Hello? Oh God. Pastor David, I've lost a lot of friends, so they don't like me again. Please open the door of your heart to me. Please. But we will give an account. Everybody, including the person talking to you. God, bless me. If you don't bless me and you begin to give him, you begin to issue threat to him. He said, may the Lord reward you fully. Brother, sisters, there is a day of reward. We will not sit on this. Listen. We read the book of Revelation. It said, in that city, there will be no more what? Death. No more weeping. But when you get there, the scripture says, and the Lord shall wipe away their. When you read a portion, I think Revelation 2, there is a crowd before the throne, and there is a crowd in the throne. So you can choose whether you will be before the throne or on the throne. Or how you are living your present. When I said your life in the body, the new creation life he gave you, you receive. How are you dispensing it? So there is a day of reward. So Ruth was taught and she encountered Boaz here and she knew there is a seat or the bema seat of Christ. Now in verse 14, so I want us to go quickly and save time because we're going somewhere. In verse 14, it said, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here. She came to the communion table. She knew the table of the Lord. He said, eat what? Bread. And a piece of bread, what? In vinegar. So she came and she understood the table of the Lord. That was the struggle of Paul with the Corinthian church. So you can watch all the things Ruth was inducted or she was taken through from chapter 1. She was saved by blood, by water, by the Spirit. At the local church, she was groomed to be a complete believer for an encounter of purpose and destiny with the Lord. Please stay with me. All what Ruth experienced in chapter 1 was to prepare her for chapter 2. All her encounters in chapter 2 was to prepare her for chapter 3 and 4. So, now, at this point, Ruth has been inducted into the community. She has kept on going and gleaning, and her nature was transformed. So, she was already losing the sense of being a root, being a Moabite, to become a root of the commonwealth of the house of Israel. Now, in chapter 3, Naomi said, Ruth, I've watched you over time. Now it's time to engage your Lord. Your main reason why you came. But the encounter did not occur at the field. It was at the threshing floor. Let me give you the synonyms of threshing floor. The Garden of Gethsemane. The place you die. To your ambition, to yourself, and to everything you have called your own dreams. There's a place you joyfully surrender to do His will. At the threshing floor, there is a purging. At the threshing floor, it's called the circumcision of the soul, or the cutting of the flesh. The Lord told Joshua, He said, before you cross over into your inheritance, take all of the children of Israel, 20 downward, cut off their foreskin, circumcise them again. It's a day of atonement, the purging, the dying of ourselves. The church that will fully express the nature of the ministry of Christ in the earth will have been a church that is totally dead to self. The desire to be seen, to be heard and to be known must die in the inside of you. And that occurs at the threshing floor. Where you encounter the Lord, you and Him alone. And He begins to tell you, you see this behavior? I know you have taken hold of it, you've been having your way. Now, can I have that place? Ask Jacob. Jacob was a very smart guy, a very intelligent believer, more than the 21st century. Until when he got to the end of his wisdom, and the Lord said, I'm going to put my mark on you. And he had to die. And that day he knew that by strength shall no man what? Prevail with God. Where you come to understand that it is not by power, not by might. You don't quote it. You know it as the rot in the inside of you. It was at the threshing floor. Ruth came. And I want us to look at carefully. When in that midnight, where the Lord encountered her, or she encountered the Lord, another big good person that had a threshing floor experience was David. David, you remember the story. When he became king, he said, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant. Go bring the Ark of the Covenant. And he had Uzzah came and everybody were dancing. And the way they've been doing it before. And when the Ark stumbled, and right there in the midst of our praise and worship, God forbid, the Lord just broke through and killed Uzzah. The meaning of Uzzah means brotherly strength. And when Uzzah died, Moses went back and was searching again. How do we carry this ark? And he said, you have to sacrifice. We have to go through. It's at the threshing floor. You come to understand that you do God's will. God's will. Hello? It's at the threshing floor. You come to that understanding that the will of God in your life must be done in His way. God has a way. It's at the threshing floor you come to understand that He gives you a promise. And He comes back and says, that promise I give to you, can I have it back, please? And He's not only asking you to give it back to Him, He's asking you to give it back to Him so that He can kill it. And what's your reaction? Ask Abraham. After waiting for almost 30 years, it's at that threshing floor. We all stand here and say, God, bless me. God, use me. Oh, God, take us to this point. What He looks at us? Jesus has to come to that threshing floor. It's at the threshing floor that we come to the point, like Ruth, in the midnight, alone, all by yourself. You don't come to the threshing floor casually. It's an experience you go through, and you know the Lord breaks your strength. It breaks your confidence. It breaks your everything, your human strength and your ability that you call strength. It's at the threshing floor that you come to know that it's good to have excellence. Dress nice, smell nice, have a good ambience in the church. But that does not bring the presence of God. It's at the threshing floor where you encounter the Lord. David had taken experience at the threshing floor. When he got fed, like what Yoruba people used to say, that not to Yoto, he got fed and he had to enjoy himself, and he began to number the children of Israel. And the Lord said, something, a knot, some knots are loose inside your head. And God said, let me fix you up. And he broke through the children of Israel. And when the Lord said, you have to make some sacrifices back to stop that, they got to the field of honor at that same place. He said, Onan said, I'm going to give you everything free. He said, no, I'm not going to offer the Lord what does not cost me. It's at the threshing floor that you pay the full price for your purpose. You can't hide. It's there your motives are exposed. Why you do what you do. You know, good things can be done or can be used for ulterior motives. Why do you pray and fast? So that you too can be anointed so much
And we know too we are pressing into God, which we can raise the dead. It's there at the threshing floor. Your motives are laid there. So that you can be heard, so you can be seen, and they can be celebrated. It's your turn to shine. Mm-mm. It's not your turn to shine. In fact, you are not called to shine. At the threshing floor. Can I bust your theology a little bit? You are not called to be a world changer. And you are not called to be an history maker. You are called to do the will of God. I know we've prayed it before. Not to be an history maker, a world changer. That is not our calling. We are called to do His will. If it is in the process of doing that will, something changes in the world. Our job is to do His will and come back home. If I may ask you, I don't know how many of you have read this book written by Bishop T.J. Jakes many years ago. Can you stand to be blessed? Have you read the book? I like to be a little bit more practical because of the composition of so many of us. As you are now, if the Lord drops 10 on your lap now, what is the first thing that comes into your head? A very good church person. That is when you remember my wardrobe and all things. So what comes first? That's the natural thing. Alright? It's at the threshing floor. It's at that threshing floor. At the threshing floor, we do everything God's way. God's will is done. You have to come to that point. Jesus came to that point in His life. He has healed the sick. He has done everything. He has achieved everything. But there, something has to die in the inside of you. It's at that threshing floor. Now let's watch how she approached Boaz in about to receive a purpose and destiny. Naomi said, when you get there, you go reverently, secretly, and watch where he lies and uncover his feet. I was very happy when Pastor Nebo was making that statement that said, the teaching, which is becoming very rife now, when people say that, of course, you can read all the Bible, but your emphasis should be in the epistles. Read my list. Me, I take it for that. He's pastor, I'm not. He's in Songo. If you don't like me, I'm back to just very soon. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's like they want to collect dollars from you. If naira is better, they will give you cowries. You know, if naira you can spend in the present day, cowries is not tenable. Hello? If they give you, collect dollars, give you naira, you can still spend it somewhere. Cowries. The time of spending it is gone. He said, do I have to Jesus say you go to the Gospels? Go find how he lived. Luke chapter 1. Can I have Luke chapter 1 quickly, please? You help me out. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Can I have Luke chapter 1? Luke 1. Luke 1. Inasmuch many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been what? Fulfilled among us. Let's go quickly. Just as those from the beginning who were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. Let us go. It seems good to me of this is Luke. Having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account of most excellent Theophilus, let's go quickly, that you may know the certainty of those things which were what? Instructed. Let's go. And he began to explain. The reason why the gospel was sent was to bring out his history, how he lived his life, so that you may know how to live. So you want to know how Jesus worked. Begin from the Gospels.
When we got born again in those days, I remember the person that discipled me in the Lord. I won't forget his name. That wonderful, different brother, Brother Kayo Adeluola, was one. And I got to the fellowship. I got born again outside church anyway. When I got to the fellowship, I remember after talking with me, he said, Bro Kenny, he gave me that Gideon Bible. He said, I'm giving you by Monday, Matthew to John. You will have through reading it. And that is where you got to know why he came. Ruth was instructed to come to Boaz secretly and uncover his feet. And by that time, he was not supposed to come casually. He was said, wash yourself. She was learned how to wash herself in the word. Clean herself up. And also anoint herself. She had got to know how to pray in the Holy Spirit. So her desire was to come now to meet our Lord. She's a believer that has already known what needs to walk with him. So she's not a believer that is coming to church to look for a blessing, but rather to be a blessing. So wash yourself in water, clean yourself up, change your garment, your whole nature, because you are about to meet the Lord to receive your destiny. Now let's go quickly. And when she got there at that night, Boaz asked a question. Boaz was startled. And Boaz said, who are you? What relationship do I have with you? And you watch the answer. Up to this point, Boaz has encountered her at the field. So she was not a stranger. He has already called her my daughter. So she's already a believer, turned talking. But at this point, when you come to receive her death, to get to point with Boaz, the question is, who are you? And what's the answer of Ruth? She said, I am Ruth, your handmaiden. 5 times up to this time, Ruth has been called Ruth the Moabite. 5 times. But when she came to the point, she has gone through in chapter 2, their experiences has delivered her from all her sin consciousness. She knows now that she has been saved. She's part of the Lord. And she said, I am Ruth, your handmaiden. If Ruth had said, I am Ruth, the Moabite, he would have turned away and not looked at her. If Ruth had said, I am Pentecostal, Anglican, Methodist, Third Day, Apostolic, Prophetic, and all those labels we gave, Boaz will have turned away. But she said, I am Ruth, your handmaiden. I am Ruth, your friend. The meaning, one of the meanings of Ruth is a friend of God. It also means something worth seeing. He said, I am something worth seeing. I am part of you. And she said, spread your garment, spread your nature over me. I just want to be part of you. I want to be like you at the threshing floor. So when the Lord comes to meet you, what does he find as your identity? LCF, BCF, Baptist. But what the Lord looks for is one whose heart is totally committed and devoted to what? To him. And let's begin. I want to begin to wrap up this. And when Boaz asked that question, it was a question of identity. Who are you? Who are you? Who do you say you are? What did you come to meet me for? Why do you come? In John chapter 1 verse 38, Jesus was walking. And John identified himself, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. Andrew and his brother, John said, Master, uncle, Is that the guy you're talking about? He said, yes. And they were following the Lord. And when the Lord discovered that they were following him, I asked him, what do you seek? In verse 38. He now said, Master, where do you live? So when you're following him, what is the motive? What is the driving force? What is pushing you? So when Ruth came to up that night to meet Boaz, it was to become one with Boaz, with not with any other identity. Now, the next verse, if you watch that, with that, Boaz now stood up and looked at her, and he knew he had found one he can put his seed in her and trust. And now said, spread your garment. And now said, and Bible says that he measured. Let us go there quickly. I want to show us something quickly there, then we'll begin to pray. Verse 15. And he said, give me the cloak that is on you. That is the garment on you, what's on nature. The dimension you have in God. And she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley, a type of an expression of the Holy Spirit, and laid it on her. Now, all what Ruth was in chapter 2, all what Ruth labored for, she could only get only one what? One measure of barley back home. But when she came to chapter 3, and in joyful surrender to the Lord was able to add 6 to what she had. That she'd be able to come to the point of her fullness. And in verse chapter 4, after that encounter, it initiated a process in Boaz to now say, I have found one in whom my seed can rest. And when we get to chapter 4, he was able to marry Ruth. And of Ruth, out of that experience, out of that union, we found Obed, produced Jesse, produced David, and it went on and produced Christ. Ruth's higher calling was not just to marry Boaz, was to back Christ. But she can't back Christ if she's not delivered by the blood, by water, by the Spirit, come to the local church, be discipled, go through all of that for an encounter of purpose and destiny. And that is why many of us, as much as gifted as much as we are anointed, even the visions of God, we know where God is leading us to. But the more you pray, the farther the thing goes. Because the process has not been accomplished. You've been called with a higher calling. But you need to come to the local church and stop being a virtual believer. And if you're in the local church, you have to go through the development and the process so that you can have an encounter with your master and the seed of God in the inside of you is found expression. It is not enough for you to know you are called with a higher calling. It's not enough for you to know that you are partakers of His calling. You must make a commitment to it. That what God has called you for and into, that whatever come what may, the seed of His purpose will find rest and expression in you. I want to close, and I want to say this. Paul said in Philippians, he said, I want to comprehend the reason why I've been apprehended. That I want to know the reason. We've been called to be partakers of His purpose, but we got to know the reason why. If you ask Joseph, for Joseph to go through recall what you went through. Up to the point at the time of his unveiling before his brother, he thought his brother shortchanged him, wounded him, and didn't like his face. But when he was stripped 3 times and got through all his experiences, when he saw his brother, he said, "You don't have to cry. I went all of those things for your sake, to come and preserve your life. I don't know who I'm talking to. Probably you're going through some certain things, issues in your life, and it does not make sense. Because they've told you that when you come to the Lord and you come to church, you pray, you fast. And the more you pray and fast, the issues still persist. At the end of the day, it will make sense." I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look at your neighbor quickly. Just look at somebody beside you. And tell that person, "Do not abort the process." Please say it again. Do not abort the process. There is a seed of God in your life with a higher force. Abort the process. That process, like Ruth. Ruth would have had every reason, like offer, to abort the process that has been initiated in her life. It could have been because of offense. She would have been offended. Well, there will be some of us that probably God has planted you in a church, or you are in a relationship, or God has kept you in a particular place, and you're already offended, and there may be a reason behind why God kept you there. It will have walked back like offer. Or it will have been because of rejection. Because it's not funny to be called Ruth the Moabitess. It's not a good compliment. Ruth's forefather, great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, was Lot. And Lot slept with his daughter, and produced Moab and Ammon. So when you say Ruth the Moabite, you are saying Ruth. Ruth's forefather slept with his daughter. But that was not enough to deter her from a high calling. And listen, if you are going to back God's purpose for your life, for your destiny, for your generation, you will have to overcome the spirit of offense and rejection. Jesus said, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." Ask John the Baptist. He said, "Are you the one we should look for? Or somebody else?" Jesus knew, was already, because it's not coming out the way it's turning out to. Ask Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. When you come to Christ and you carry the seed of Christ in the inside of you, offense and rejection are two things you must overcome. Joseph, he became uncomfortable to identify with Mary until that angel came and said, "That thing there belongs to God." They are the two packages that goes along with God's purpose. So when we are called with a higher calling, offense is going to come. Rejection is going to come. The scripture describes Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12. And it says, he who for the sake of the joy set before him, what? Despise the shame. So, God's purpose for your life, what I want to leave with you this morning, at the end of this session, is this. What price are you willing to pay for the higher calling that God has called you to? He said, "I am Ruth the Moabitess." Rejection is going to come. To seek to abort that process in the inside of you. So for Ruth, it was more than just becoming part of Boaz. It was to become one
of the same nature with him to carry that seed, to produce Obed, to produce Jesse, and to produce Christ. You have been called to back Christ in your generation. That is our calling, to express his full nature, his full ministry in our generation. But it will come with those two: rejection and offense. But I close with this. Who are you? She said, I am Ruth. Your what? Your handmaiden. She has been cleansed and she just said, put your garments over me. I am one with you. How many handmaidens of the Lord is in the house? We've been called with a higher calling. We've been called to partake of his nature and of his ministry in our generation. But the people that will fully express that are people that have gone through the threshing floor. I want us to pray. Can I have the keyboard, please? Inquire. Partakers of the heavenly calling. The friend of God. The parable of Ruth. Ruth was called with a higher calling, with a singular purpose to receive the seed of Boaz, to start and be part of that role of redemption. For Ruth, she didn't know. But you are not to abort the process of God in your life. I want us just to talk to the Lord. How many handmaidens do we have? At the threshing floor, we do God's will, God's way. We've been called to be the root church that will lay at the feet of the Lord, that will not move until he moves, that will not speak until he speaks. Jesus said, what the Father does, I do. What I see him do, not what I choose to do. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Fully submitted to the will of the Father. The desire is this. Will you marry him? He's looking for a generation totally committed to his cause. Totally committed to his will. I just want you to talk to him. That is the parable of Ruth. She was called with a higher calling. But the generation of the Ruth church that will receive the fullness of his nature is the one that is totally committed to the Lord. He's seeking an expression from you. It is not enough for us to know we are called with a higher calling. We must make a commitment to it today. That God will see to step in my bosom. It will not be distorted, it will not be corrupted. You will realize. They are called to be the root church, the unchanging of the Lord. And they are calling to be the root church. Thank you. Let's pray. The Lord has been great. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Listen. Say to me, the upper church. Talk. Is it the upper church? Is it that full church? The Naomi church? The sinful church? But the root church is underfold. The root church will go for fullness. The root church, praise the Lord that God has for them. Listen, if you go and study very well, you know, we are looking at Ruth as, I mean, Boaz as a kinsman redeemer that married Ruth. But if you study that scripture very well, you see that actually Naomi should marry Ruth. I mean, should marry Boaz. Are you with me? So Naomi thinks she's too old to marry. He's speaking about a generation that has not desire for revival. A complacent generation. A careless, no, the appetite, the hunger has disappeared. And that's going to be this generation. No hunger. Carelessly, don't let, I don't want to don't let. Delay as the recent composite, whatever is the history of a man who walked in an anointing to the extent that the son of Boken was declared healthy. You don't get the point. That is a corrupt nation. They declared Boken as a city that is healthy. Are you with me? Is that powerful? Damn, died in his hands. But listen, it was only so much to walk in that grace of God and to step down and see demons leave his body that he went for a 9 month fast. How many months? It didn't happen anyhow. For you, sitting thing is closing down all of God's season in your life. Sitting thing is cheating you. Robbing on your inheritance. You can watch sitting thing from 24 to 29. There's nothing like that. But to have stamina, to tongue, to start and stay, just 6 hours. Just how many hours? There's no strength. What's the reason? No hunger! You're like Naomi. No hunger! You don't get the point. You cannot pray 6 hours on a demo. Hello? Then we will not do it. We do think he will not do it. It is hunger. You press in. 6 hours is not even enough. Are you with me? In my days of campus, I don't know your quiet. When is it quiet time? I don't do quiet time. You know quiet time now? You read the Bible 30 minutes. You read the Bible every day. And then you now do another 30 minutes, 1 hour. It was not enough. Are you with me? So we stay back in school. Do you hear that? We stay back in school. So now start all kind of bribery. 7 days fast. Do it. Pray. I've stayed in my room, lock up, not going anywhere for 7 days. Are you together? It does not come for a generation that is contented with mediocrity. And then you open your mouth and ask for what they doing. It's a bastard generation. Can you pray for a baptism of divine hunger? Inna ankupaka lake de gede bantaya kaya. Akia se ela aba apuku bala bosoto. Evita ma di tebebe. Adupaka bolo studia. Kapusta alasta adise elosa. Akala kaba kaba kobo koba. Mira tolu lo 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 sia. Asta ya ya ya. Nia nere siate. E la toleti. Prete, 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 prete. Pesta da la radosta. Onga.
Anger! Anger! Ah! 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 Lagash! Entas! Magash! Abash! Edesh! Enos! Adido! Adede! Papogobo! Elegedi! Kadu Gadaba! Adiga Dabati Godoba Lagana Bogoroba! Miara tu dia karoka ligerele Ero kalanda suta liga fia. Yes Lord. Yes Lord. Saputa Fazi Badawas. Yes, Lord.
You make my life
so
beautiful.
Let's say that together. Pietro, Masha Malagara Mosca. Pietro. Pietro. Yes, Lord.
I want
more of you. Yes, Lord. Oh,
that's all.
Amen. Hallelujah. The very one I want to get out of this place is a place of divine discontentment. Like the men of David that came to me in the wilderness, you know, they were just all destroyed and discontented. You know, not satisfied with mediocrity. These people that they are not satisfied. Some of the leaders on the campuses, what were leaders on campuses? It was not about, you want to go from town. Your life counts. You understand? Your life counts. Hallelujah. Your life counts right on campus. In UI, I work in the night. They will say that don't work in the night. Of course, it's this and that. There was no fear. Who's that court guy that will wait on the road? I'm the real court guy. L-A-N-E-A-V. Yes. With Tom City reference, big Bible, Weber translation. Do you understand? Eh? How do you get it all together? Eh? You are the original. L-A-N. How do you get it? But you are so afraid. Your mind is so filled with season movies. You know the fresh one that's out. All the songs you have lost connection with heaven. How do you struggle that as you leave this meeting, there will be a fresh fire in your bones? Say, go and study men. Say, do something this year. Tell yourself. Just tell biography. How many? How many? Read about men and you will see that you are wasting away. Hello? When you see how men have lived for God, when you see divine investment, when you see labor, you know this shit. You know labor, you hear some people. I was telling some people recently, maybe last year, I was talking about George Mula. George Mula has over 50,000 recorded answered prayers. You don't get it. I got a point, I closed the thing, I was doing an assignment for a course. I closed the book, leave the thing. Pray for us, pray us. So, assignment stay somewhere. Pray for us. Someone was effort. Your own business on the depot. Let Baba Debo here. And you are so lazy boy. Hello, Baba Debo. You know that intro of his song? Christian song, that's all. Question. Somebody was in a place that kidnappers were. They kidnapped them. I told rank the leader. When they heard the song. Oh, get there. Eh? How do you get up? Because they follow him. This guy, listen, they walk with God. Baba Adeboye was telling us in the meeting that at the point, Baba Adeboye was really pressing deep into God. Pressing so deep. And then at the point, he was asking about any book or such growth anywhere. Buy it. Tape or such growth. Buy it. No matter that. Was devouring books, reading, listening to tapes, and I was asking. There was something that was on one banana per day for 1 year. Yes, what are they? Go to Bibliometer. I was going to pass a day in here. Eh? Bibliometer. Just 3 days. Babe. Just delay this place 3 days. Oh, when you pray God, I was going to pray. Ah, the house of the sun here, you know, or follow up. I'm serious. I want you to wake up. Don't happen that way. Hallelujah. And then, at the point, he had to pray to God. Pray. He got to a point that at that year is Sokoto. Oh, sure, what? All I'm saying is Sokoto. That is it. The one religion of Owusi, or Africa, 40,000 naira. Oh, there's nothing way. Go to Jesus. You can't sit down, turn down one. Don't listen to things that will change your life. Are you with me? Oh, the pastor has a testimony of written down prayer points. Answers. I can show your child and your children. And then God spoke to him in Yoruba. You get my point? When you put to a point that God is not telling you anything English, it's a page Yoda. God spoke to him in Yoruba. Eh? Such growth is not South Korea. It's not the US. It's from a minimum. So I'm going to say, Parabale. I'm going to say, Parabale. I'm going to say, she only said this time you see. Ebamitoro. Sorry, you don't know Yoruba. God spoke to him that he should cool down and let the owner of the work do the work. For even today,
Are they struggling to grow?
So what's the problem? What you're looking for is not lost. The question is, you have no hunger. Do you get my point? I'm not a job. See, when we go for meeting, you come back to school. You don't start another meeting. Another 7 days. Take each message. Put it on it. Fresh thoughts. You write. Not just the scattered thoughts. You study like you have study your Bible. You hear some things there. There were things I listened to 20 times. I'm not joking. Over and you do all night of just listening to tape. And you are praying in tongues. You are praying in tongues. And this flashes to your spirit. Hallelujah. And then things you can happen. Come on together. You don't know. You have been born again 5 years. You don't know God's voice. We don't say here. You know the same. Talk about that 10 years born again. You are looking for prophets. And I know you in here. Come together. That must end with this meeting. You're for boy in school. One long break. Feel like glory. You know where that? I don't know where that. Are you with me? One long break. He locked himself up 7 days. Pray non stop in tongues. And he got it. He did what? Godzilla and his friend, whatever, without his friends, they prayed this day. Some of them floated as they're praying. They had to say, oh yeah. They got them down. Bam. Are you with me? No hunger. No hunger. That's the problem. That's satisfied. But I was able to see lecturing. One day I was hungry for something. Was seriously. I just opened my Bible. I made lectures. I was here for about 2 hours. I was laying in my own room. I think myself was laying. You understand my point? This is not, see, if you have it, you have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. How do you get up? You go for 10 months meeting, they are not able to challenge you. He's a man of life passion. Hello? But he's investing time into God. I don't like the guy. I recommend for everybody here, go online, look for 10 months meeting, listen to it, say, oh, yes, me. That guy is called. How do you get up? And I like the way he's born. Don't just tell yourself that God carries through mediocrity that makes of Christianity. Mediocre Christianity. My uncle John, best woman. Oluwa, I refuse it. My life will come in your will according to your ways. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we are praying. Father, we ask. We ask for an encounter with you that will radicalize our life. An encounter that will introduce radical Christianity that will take us beyond the mundane. An encounter that will bring us to a place that our life can be wasted for you. A place where there is no more fear of death. A place that day by day we live as unto the Lord. Where the opinions of man will not make us to be swinging like a pendulum. Where we will not be a people who are lukewarm, neither the here nor there, nor cold nor hot. But where it comes to a place that our passion becomes fiery. Lord, we are trusting you. Where we come to open your world and it's alive for us. So that we cry for freshness, revelation of life. But when we study, we will meet you the living word. Lord, in our cry, oh God, where in our vicinity, just for the work, it will be free of vices, that we can police the heavens over our neighborhood. We are trying for an encounter that will start to carry stronger divine penalty of you around. That indeed, our life, by the Holy Spirit, can bring changes to our children's friends. This is our cry, Almighty God. We want to really know you. We want to really know you. We don't want to run on the swell of other men's testimony. We don't want to live our life as one that is just a parrot. We desire you, O God. As I said this morning, that die hard mindset in Ruth, that heart that even when there was no hope was able to move on, we are asking it to be installed into us, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In this nation, in the geopolitical zones, I'm an army being prepared by me. I people that are taken into a place of eagerness. Are people that will come in the might and the strength that is not just of the lion but also the ox. They will to lay down their life in the place of suffering and sacrifice for the cause of the things that will happen in this to come. And I'm doing a work secretly that will overturn the government. A work secretly that will change the nature of governance in Nigeria. A work secretly that rather than the expectation of a spread of Islam, there will be a canopy that will cause an increase and spread of Christianity more. Radicals, I see them in my Maiduguri rising for the Lord. Radicals that will start a vow of revival that will transform the Northeast. I see among the people that you think of Fulani, people that will be transformed, and in the days to come, they will be like Saul, carrying the light of my revival in the Northeast. They are rising. It's like I send the spirit an invitation that is saying, Come up here. There's still more. And in the days to come, many from this nation will be planted by me in other nations for the purpose primarily of my gospel to bring about a change even in the head. Father, we'll exalt you. There's somebody here, you have been seeing us, and you have been wondering what is the meaning of that. It's like it comes in a flash, it comes in a vision. Like the flash and the vision. And one of the times I say is the scripture I'm talking about, the fact that if you cannot contend with man, can you contend with others? About the fact that when God is taking you to, your strength is small. And God wants you to really, at this time, incubate for strength. Father, we glorify your holy name. We'll exalt your name. In the name of Jesus.